Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and we're here to do yet another doctor's show. Another doctor pairing, if you will. We're going to pair Dr. Kildare with the family doctor. And the family doctor is a 15-minute program. So, Dr. Kildare, we'll start off with that. This is called Barbara Lane, Dope Addict, from 1950.
The story of Dr. Kildare.
Whatsoever house I enter, there will I go for the benefit of the sick. And whatsoever things I see or hear concerning the life of men, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be held as sacred trusts. I will exercise my art solely for the...
The story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer brought you those famous motion pictures. Now this exciting, heartwarming series is heard on radio. In just a moment, the story of Dr. Kildare. But first, your announcer. Now, the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Blair General Hospital, one of the great citadels of American medicine. A clump of gray-white buildings planted deep in the heart of New York. The nerve center of medical progress, where great minds and skilled hands wage man's everlasting battle against death and disease. Blair General Hospital, where life begins, where life ends, and where life goes on.
Parker, I'm bored. Right up to the back teeth. Just plain downright bored.
Well, now that's just too bad, Dr. Gillespie. You can't have excitement all the time, so you might just as well relax and enjoy it.
Enjoy being bored? Parker, according to Schopenhauer, the most general survey shows us that the two foes of human happiness are pain and boredom.
That's very interesting, Dr. Gillespie. And who is Schopenhauer?
Ugh, who is Schopenhauer? Parker, you are an idiot.
Well, I can't remember every doctor who comes into this hospital.
I could hold a more intelligent conversation with an anthropoid ape.
What?
I beg your pardon, Dr. Gillespie. Yes, sir.
Well, come in, Pithecanthropus erectus.
Huh? Well, I don't follow you, Doc. Sir, I mean...
Never mind, Wayman. What do you want?
Well, I was looking for Dr. Kildare. They told me to bring him this here lab report, and I thought to...
Lab report? Yeah. Oh, here. Let me see it.
Yes, sir.
Here, Parker. Do you recall any patient of Kildare's named Barbara Lane?
Why, no, Dr. Gillespie.
Hey, that's the dame I bring in about noon. Emergency call from a hotel a couple of blocks down the street. She had an overdose of sleeping pills.
That's a very interesting report. Was she unconscious, Wayman?
Sure. Out cold. Limp as a wet noodle. We found a half a bottle of pills in her room. Doc Keering was the intern.
Remarkable. Now, how in the world could... Oh, Kildare. Come in. I got something here to show you.
What's up?
Here. Might as well look at this. It's for you.
Oh, it's the lab report on Miss Lane. Young Keering asked me to check her over, but I haven't had time yet. She's an emergency case. Acute barbitol poisoning from an overdose.
From an overdose of what?
Concentration in bloodstream, 3 parts. Wayman. I understand you and Keering found this girl in a state of coma.
Coma?
Limp as a wet noodle.
Oh, well, yes, she was.
Why, that concentration is no more than she'd have from taking one tablet.
One tablet, Doc? I'm telling you, the bottle was half empty.
Nevertheless, this girl hasn't taken more than one or maybe two tablets. So why was she in a state of coma?
Of course, there could be an idiosyncrasy in her reaction to barbitol.
It could be, but the odds are against it. You know, Jimmy, this Lane girl may have deliberately faked a case of barbitol poisoning.
But why? She went through some pretty rough treatment when she was brought in here. Stomach pump, mag salt, ephedrine shots. She couldn't have enjoyed it.
No, but she might put up with it if she had a reason.
What reason?
Well, I don't know yet. Maybe you'd better have a talk with her, Jimmy.
I'm going to.
Dr. Kildare, don't you pay any attention to him. He's just trying to stir up excitement because he's bored. He said so.
Ah, Parker, I can only think of one reason why I go on putting up with you. The fact that use doth breed a habit in a man.
Oh, you and your Schopenhauer.
You know, when you come right down to it, Miss Lane, we don't know very much about you.
No, I suppose you don't, Dr. Kildare.
The hotel clerk said you registered the day before yesterday from Chicago. Now, that's all he knows about you. Except that one of the maids found you unconscious in your room around noon today.
Yes, that's right. I can't really understand what happened.
Don't you have any relatives or friends here whom you'd like us to notify?
No, I don't know anyone in New York. I just got in a couple of days ago. I came here to look for work.
Without any luggage?
Well, it's checked at Penn Station.
Where's the baggage check?
Well, it's in my purse. I guess it is.
The nurse says there was nothing in your purse but some money and a lipstick.
Well, then I must have lost it somewhere. Why do you keep asking me questions? I don't have to answer you. I haven't done anything.
Now, Miss Lane.
You don't have any right to persecute me like this. I didn't ask to be brought here. I don't have to tell you anything.
Miss Lane.
I haven't done anything to be treated this way. I can't stand it, and I won't.
Miss Lane, stop it.
I didn't mean to get all upset like that.
It's all right. I'm sorry, too. I guess I wasn't very tactful.
It's just that I'm nervous and jumpy. After effects, I guess.
After effects of what?
Why, of all those sleeping pills, of course.
How many would you say, Miss Lane?
Well, I don't know. A whole lot, I guess. I don't know.
As a matter of fact, didn't you only take one?
I don't remember.
What's the last thing you can remember before you were brought here?
Well, I couldn't sleep all night. I was upset. And this morning I decided to take a sleeping pill, and the next thing I woke up here in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's all. How do you feel now?
Oh, I feel all right, I guess.
Good. Sure you don't want us to notify your family?
I don't have any. My parents are both dead.
I see. Well, ring for the nurse if you want anything.
Dr. Kildare, what are you planning to do with me?
In view of the circumstances, we'll keep you here tonight for observation. If you still feel all right tomorrow, you'll be discharged. Is that okay with you?
Why, of course. Sure, it's okay. Why not?
I can't understand Miss Lane's attitude, Dr. Gillespie. She's antagonistic, on guard, and she flies apart at the slightest pressure.
That girl's up to something, Jimmy. Or she has been, and she's afraid she'll give herself away.
Maybe so. And I still don't know any more about it than I did before I talked to her. Doesn't make any sense any way you look at it.
Confound it, Jimmy. Ordinarily, I don't pay much attention to hunches. But there's something about this case that keeps nagging at the corner of my brain.
Excuse me, Dr. Gillespie, but...
What is it, Nosey?
I am not, and I... Oh, there's a Mr. Lane here to see you.
Lane?
Lane. That's the girl's name. Send him in, Parker.
You may go in, Mr. Lane.
She told me she didn't have any family.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Sit down, Mr. Lane. Sit down. Now, what can we do for you?
I came here to see my daughter Barbara, gentlemen. They told me downstairs that I'd better talk with you first. She is here, isn't she?
Yes, she's here, Mr. Lane. Do you know the circumstances of the case?
Yes. My agents had traced her to the hotel last night, and when I went there to get her this afternoon, the clerk told me what had happened. You see, gentlemen, my daughter ran away from home a week ago.
Do you have any idea why she decided to come here to New York?
Come to New York? She was in New York. I have an apartment at 271 Park Avenue.
Well, your daughter seems to have quite an active imagination, Mr. Lane.
Well, I must confess that I don't understand that girl, gentlemen. This isn't the first time she's run away, you know, and yet I've given her everything money can buy. By the way, this package, some clothes and things for Barbara, is it all right if I take them to her?
Oh, sure. Parker!
Yes, Dr. Gillespie?
Show Mr. Lane up to 512, Parker.
Of course. You'll come with me, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for all the trouble my daughter has caused.
No trouble at all. Goodbye. Well, there goes the end of a good hunch.
Jimmy, I'm not so sure.
The girl found out her father had located her. She knew she was in for it, so she staged this act for sympathy. Seems to fit.
Yes, but there's one thing that doesn't fit. That hunch of mine. And, Jimmy, I've still got that hunch.
Well, Dr. Gillespie, sir, I thought you wanted me to get right up here and tell you what I found out.
Well, then why didn't you? It must be nearly midnight.
No, sir, it's only about 10 o'clock, sir.
Wayman, don't start an argument.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Confound it, I want Kildare.
Well, Sally's already calling him on the public address
now,
system.
Now, Wayman, get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Parker!
Sorry, Miss Parker. Jeepers, just let me get out of here.
Dr. Gillespie. I was just going up to the wardroom to have tea and sandwiches with the girls. And if you want something, you can just wait. I won't do it.
Well, so it's mutiny, is it?
Well, I certainly don't see any reason why once in a while I can't...
I see.
Oh, Kildare. Come in.
Well, I'll be back later, Dr. Gillespie.
Parker, don't you leave this office. You can lift your pinky some other night.
Oh, horrible man.
I understand you've been looking for me. What's up?
It's about that Lane girl, Jimmy. Have you talked to her again?
No, but the nurse just told me she's been in good spirits ever since her father was here this afternoon.
Ah, indeed.
Yes, says she's been cheerful, talkative, babbled the whole story. That's what we thought. Play for sympathy from her father.
Remarkable. Because you might be interested in knowing that Mr. Lane is not her father.
No?
Or at least he's not who he claimed to be. I sent Wayman out to that Park Avenue number he gave us, but there's no such address.
But it doesn't make sense.
She planned to get into this hospital, Jimmy, but why?
One moment, Mr. Holmes. I'll bring the needle.
And where does Lane fit? Needle?
Yes, you remember Sherlock Holmes' one great weakness.
Morbid and depressed earlier, semi-hysteria, feelings of persecution, and after her father came... Buoyant, cheerful, talkative. Why? Because he brought her a morphine shot.
No, wait a minute.
Jimmy, Barbara Lane is a drug addict.
You could be right. The emergency treatment she went through could have covered the symptoms.
Has she asked for a narcotic of any kind?
No, not even a sedative. An addict always do.
But that must be the reason she planned to get in here. And you watch. She'll pull something else and stay here.
Pardon me, Dr. Kildare.
Well, what is it, Parker?
The dispensary clerk from the fifth floor is here.
Well, that's fine, but I...
Well, here I am, Dr. Kildare. Came down as quick as I could.
Maxie? What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. You phoned me about 5 minutes ago and said to get down here right away.
I didn't phone you.
But you said it was you, or whoever it was said it was.
Wait a minute. Did you lock the dispensary?
Well, sure. I always lock it when...
Never mind. Let's get up there fast.
Kildare, what's all this about?
I don't know yet, but Barbara Lane's room is on the fifth floor in the same wing as the drug dispensary. Come on, Maxie, let's go.
We return to the story of Dr. Kildare in just a moment. Tomorrow we continue with the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Well, the dispensary door's still closed, Dr. Kildare. Everything looks okay from here.
I could be wrong, of course.
Jeepers, boss, I can't get over it. A slick little doll like that being a huff.
Well, we'll soon know whether she's been here or not. Door's still locked.
Yeah. Open it up, Maxie.
Just a second. There.
Everything seems to be in order. Better check the narcotics cabinet.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Loctite. What a relief. I guess I better take a look inside just to make sure.
Boss, you want I should go see if Dr. Gillespie found her in her room?
No, wait a minute, Wayman. I want to see if...
Dr. Gillespie.
Yeah?
It's empty.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt now what she was up to. Wayman, get down to the first floor and block off the stairways.
Okay, Doc.
And don't let anyone up or down unless you know who they are.
Gotcha, boss. Nobody goes neither way, even if it's over my dead body.
How did she do it, Dr. Kildare? Both doors are locked, and I swear they haven't been forced.
I guess it's that Papa brought her a set of skeleton keys, along with a morphine shot and some clothes.
And he must be the one who phoned me and said it was you.
Yes, they seem to know our routine around here pretty well. They picked the one time in the evening when all the nurses were off the floor. How much stuff did you have in the cabinet?
Full quarter. I refilled it right after I came on duty. Gosh, that's about $3,000 worth of morphine gun.
It's worth over $100,000 to a peddler. They cut it about 40-1 on the black market. Only it's not gone yet, and it's not going to be.
Well, I don't know. It looks to me like...
The elevator operator said Barbara Lane hadn't come down. With Wayman there now, she's trapped somewhere up here. Maybe you'd better go down and help Wayman.
Okay.
And tell the night supervisor to warn all the nurses. I'll check with her after I see what Gillespie's found out.
Look, Dr. Gillespie, here's her hospital robe hanging in the closet. Why, she'll catch a death of cold, to say the least.
Parker, you can drop that tone of outraged morality. Girl's fully clothed. That was what was in the package her alleged father brought her this afternoon.
Well, I only thought that, after all, she...
I know what you thought. I always do. 10 minutes before you think it.
Well...
According to the eminent philosopher, the fundamental fault of the female character is that it has no sense of justice. In your case, Parker, it's merely a matter of no sense at all.
Oh, don't you quote at me anymore. You've been Schopenhauering me all day.
Any sign of her, Dr. Gillespie?
No, Jimmy, no. She apparently got dressed and skinned out.
Well, the narcotics are gone. She probably used a skeleton key. I've got Maxie and Wayman guarding the elevator and the stairs.
Good.
She's somewhere on these upper floors and she can't get out, but we've got to find her.
Then it might be a good idea to call the police.
Yes, I guess we'll have to if we don't locate her in the next 10 minutes or so. I suppose we ought to notify Carew.
Yeah, well, we'll regard that as the last resort. Jimmy, I've been trying to figure out just what plan this girl had in mind.
Well, we know what the first part of it was, to steal the narcotic supply from the dispensary. After that, she must have planned to get it out of the hospital.
But how did she plan to get herself out, too?
You mean she may intend to come back if it... Yeah, that stuff could be tossed out of a window.
That's it. Maybe she meant to get rid of it and then come back here and go to bed as though nothing happened. Hmm. Ordinarily, the drugs wouldn't be missed for several hours.
And Lane is probably waiting outside somewhere. But if that is it, she couldn't use this room. All these windows overlook the street. They're right above the sidewalk.
Well, how about the east side where the ambulance drive comes in?
That's right. And there's a lot of shrubbery next to the building.
No access on this floor, though, except private rooms.
But right below here, the fourth floor terrace. It's dark out there. It'd be perfect.
Well, there's just a bad chance, all right.
We can't let any chances slip past. I'm going out there.
Good. I'll call Wayman and send him out along the drive with that monkey wrench of his. Go to it, Jimmy.
Dark eye, yeah. Miss Lane?
Who is it?
Oh, there you are.
Dr. Kildare. Ralph, somebody's here. Watch out, I've got a fraud.
Stop, don't.
There it comes.
You little... Swayman, over to your left. He's there in the bushes.
Yeah, boss, I see him. All right, you drop. Stay back.
Careful, he may have a gun.
Well, it ain't gonna do him no good.
Nice going, Wayman. Is he knocked out?
Sure, Doc. Hold it, and a marionette is heavy.
Well, get him over to the ambulance entrance and call the police and hang on to that package.
Okay, boss. Just leave it there. Hey, look, the thing!
What are you talking? Hey, Miss Lane, get down off that parapet.
Don't come any closer. I'll jump if you do.
Miss Lane, you wouldn't.
What have I got to lose?
Well, it's your life.
Is that all? You don't know very much, do you?
I know that you're a drug addict, if that's what you mean, and I know it isn't your fault.
Tell that to the cops, see if they believe.
I think they'll consider it, at least, especially if I stand by you, and I will. I have a great deal of sympathy for a drug addict, Miss Lane, and I know this man who posed as your father was probably your source of supply.
That's right. As well as my boss.
Yes, a peddler can always give orders to an addict who has to depend on him.
You're so wise, Doctor. And maybe you know everything that can mean.
For one thing, it probably means he forced you into helping him with his theft tonight. Well, I've seen a lot of addicts, Miss Lane. I've cured a lot of them, too.
How noble of you. And now you're all for saving poor, innocent little me. You fool. I'm 19 and I've been on the stuff for 3 years.
Oh, what of it? If you're willing to cooperate with me,
I'll... Dr. Kildare, I've warned you. If you come any closer, I'll jump.
All right. I'll stay where I am, but please listen to me.
Kildare?
Over here, Dr. Gillespie.
Make him stay back, too. I'm warning you.
She's up on the parapet, threatens to jump.
Think she'll do it, Jimmy?
She will if she gets excited. Any ideas?
No. Keep her talking.
Well, what's the plan, boys? Aren't two doctors a match for one lousy hophead?
I think that's your own title. I wouldn't call you that.
No? And what would you call me, Dr. Kildare?
I'd call you a very lovely young girl who's managed to get herself mixed up in some very nasty trouble before she's even had a chance to find out what life's all about.
Oh, I know what it's all about, all right. Plenty. Want a case history for your files, Doc? What's that?
It's the police after your partner.
Keep it talking, Jimmy. The mad nets.
I would like to hear your story. As a matter of fact, how did it happen?
Oh, you're just stalling. You don't care, not really.
Yes, I do. Oh, come on now. Tell me, where did you live and grow up?
Chicago. I ran away from home when I was 15 and came to New York. I was broke and I couldn't get a job and I kicked around a lot.
Yeah, go on.
Guy I knew got me to try a pop and within a month I was on the stuff. I've been on it ever since.
We can change that if you will let us.
You think I haven't tried? Do you know how it feels to try sweating it out, leaving that stuff alone? Thinking you're going crazy, biting your hands so they bleed to keep from screaming?
You can't do it alone. Of course you can't. You need help, medical help. But I'll see that you get it.
Oh, you're lying. You're only saying that because you don't want me to jump. Because you want to turn me over to the cops.
Confounded crazy kid.
It's no use. You're like everybody else, and you're lying. That's what you're doing.
Whatever we do, it's got to be fast.
I won't listen anymore, because you don't mean it.
Sometimes you can hit their vanity. I don't know.
You want to trick me and fool me like everybody else.
Miss Lane, you listen to me for just one moment now.
I won't.
Afterward, you can go ahead and kill yourself if you want to. But have you ever seen the body of one who's jumped off a building?
What are you talking about?
Bones break up, and it smashes like a piece of ripe fruit. And the face never looks like a face anymore. Your face is very pretty the way it is now.
Stop that. Stop talking like that.
And another thing, we're not very high up here, you know, and it's about an even chance you'll go on living with your face all smashed up.
Stop it. I won't listen to you. Stop saying those things.
I don't know, Jimmy. It's 50-50.
Miss Lane, if you'll step down off that parapet and trust me, I'll see you through this, and I'll ask the court to be given your parole. And then if you're willing to cooperate with me, I'll cure you. On my oath as a doctor and by everything in this world I believe in, I promise you that. Now, what about it? Come on, will you take a chance?
If only I could.
Carnation, she's going to jump.
She can't, she can't.
I'll take that chance, Dr. Kildare.
God.
When can we start?
You've taken the first step now, Barbara. We've already started.
In just a moment, we will return to the story of Dr. Kildare.
Thank you.
once again, the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
I guess I forgot to mention it, Dr. Gillespie. I had a letter this morning from Bradley up at White Hill Sanitarium.
Oh, yeah? And how is the Lane girl, Jimmy?
Very enthusiastic about her. Calls her that courageous little Lane kid. She's apparently still determined to fight it out.
Good. I think she'll make it, too. Those first 2 weeks are the hard ones.
Oh, I hope she makes it. Caught by the drug habit at her age. Beaten before she even had a chance.
Yeah, same old story. Just this once for a thrill. Duh. If they only knew the penalty before they started. But
Dr. Gillespie, something terrible has happened.
Oh, well, what's Carew done now, Parker?
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with Dr. Carew at all. It's your watch that I was supposed to take to the jeweler's last month. I just found it in my desk. I'd forgotten all about it.
Jimmy, we have here a living proof of a very interesting biological fact.
Oh, what's that?
That the human organism is capable of surviving without a brain.
Oh!
Oh, what? Do you deny that you're a nincompoop?
Well, I've just been waiting for the next time you insulted me like this. And I would like to inform you that intellect is invisible to the man who has none.
Well, by the great horn spoon. Where'd you find that?
Why, Dr. Gillespie, don't you remember? That's from Schopenhauer.
You have just heard the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Dr. Kildare is presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Key to the City, starring Clark Gable, Loretta Young, Frank Morgan, and Marilyn Maxwell. This program was written by Les Crutchfield and directed by William P. Russo. Original music was composed and conducted by Walter Schumann. Supporting cast included Virginia Gregg, Ed Max, Parley Bear, Tom Brown, and Barbara Ruick. Dick Joy speaking.
Well, next we have an episode of Family Doctor. This is a syndicated program, and it's pretty early, from 1932, and I suspect it's a daytime program as well, because it was only 15 minutes long. So the episode is called False Witness. Here we go.
Hello there. This is the Family Doctor. Keep away from hornets after this.
Don't you worry none about that, Doc. I sure will.
Yep. Just make sure they're honeybees instead of hornets.
Thank you, Doc. This here mud you slapped on my face and hands sure seems to help a heap.
You drop around tomorrow afternoon about 4:30, Hank, and we'll have another look at you.
Well, so long, Doc. How much you buy? Hello there, Maddie.
Good morning, Mr. Hazen. Good morning, Dr. Adams.
Good morning, Maddie. You next, are you?
Well, I think I am. I should be. I've been waiting long enough.
Well, come on in. Sit down in that big chair. Hank Hazen's had a little trouble with his bees. He don't see as good as he used to.
Appears to me is how he'd see better if he weren't so vain. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. That's what the good book says.
It does, eh? Doesn't say nothing about the women, eh?
Not in that passage, it don't.
Vain, eh? How do you figure out that Hank's vain, Matty?
Well, he won't wear them spectacles. The gold-rimmed ones that you sent away for him, fur. Says folks will think he's getting decrepit. Why, it's getting so he can't even read the court records he read.
You and Hank had another falling out?
Well, what have we had? That's our business, ain't it? And nobody else's.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely correct. Well, Matty, what's the trouble this time?
Oh, Dr. Adams, that misery's come back in my neck and shoulder again.
Has, eh? What you been eating?
Just what you told me. Half a lemon and hot water in the morning, an apple and some celery at noon, and meat and potatoes just once a day. That's all, and nothing more.
Nothing more?
Well, I did go to the sociable last Wednesday.
What'd you eat there?
Well, of course, I had to enter into the festivities, like.
Oh, yes,
and,
of course.
Well, they had some of Mrs. Phillips's lamb and curry.
Uh-huh.
And some of Mrs. Rankin's splendid watermelon pickle.
Uh-huh.
And some of Mrs. Mason's fresh homemade strawberry ice cream. And of course, I took one of my angel food cakes with the boiled ice, and you know, Dr. Adams, the kind you like so well.
Yeah, I know. But you see, Maddie, I don't have any misery in my neck and shoulder. Maddie Clark, that's the trouble with you and people like you. You get something the matter with you, then you expect the doctor to fix you up all by himself. Gosh, Jeff Friday.
Why,
he can't do it, Maddie. Why, the human system just like that automobile of mine sitting out there in Maple Street. I've been driving that automobile for 6 years, and it's as good today as it was the day I bought it. Why? Because I don't go out and put a lot of coal oil and ether in the gas tank. Just because I think it'll be entering into the festivities like.
Oh, now, Doctor,
no, sorry, Bob. And you can't do it with the human system, neither.
No.
Well, I'll give you some of these pellets, and then you stop into the drugstore on your way home and get Pete May to give you some more of that same liniment. And then, Matty Clark, you see that you stay with that diet list I gave you.
Well, all right, Dr. Adams, but I... Oh, look.
What's the matter?
There she comes.
Who?
Judge Sam Weaver's girl, Faith.
Well, what's so startling about that?
Oh, Dr. Adams, ain't you heard?
No, can't say the half.
Why, it's all over town. It swept Cedarton just like the gales of Galilee.
Maddie Clark, what are you talking about?
Well, you know Faith Windsor's the treasurer of a Sunday school class, the daughters of Naomi?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, they were all getting ready for the class picnic next Saturday up to Miller's Lake, and what do you think?
I can't.
The money's disappeared.
What?
Yes. All the class funds has just been swept off the face of the earth, so to speak. And I ain't one to carry tales.
Oh, of course not.
But just at the same time, Faith Windsor came out with a brand new pink organdy. She wore it to the sociable last Wednesday.
Well, hasn't Sam Windsor enough money to buy his daughter a new dress if he wants to?
No, of course, if he wants to.
Stuff Friday, Maddie Clark, what are you trying to say?
Well, I ain't one...
Are you trying to say that little Faith Windsor stole that money?
Of course, I don't know that she did, but it looks a mighty heap suspicious to me. She had the money to her house, didn't she? The money disappeared from the face of the earth, didn't it? And then... She comes out with a new organdy.
It isn't true. You're lying, Miss Clark, and you know it.
Now, Faith.
Well, it's you that started all this terrible talk about me, and not one bit of it's true. Do you hear? Not one bit of it. You know I didn't steal that money, but you've got everybody in Cedarton thinking I did, and someday I'm going to prove I didn't do it. And then you'll see what I did.
Well, I never... What's this younger generation come into, talking to their elders like we was dumb animals? Well, I think I'd better be getting down to the drugstore. I don't want to delay putting on that liniment.
Here's your pellets, Maddie.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you, Dr. Adams. I most forgot them. Well, good day, Dr. Adams.
Good day, Maddie. I hope your misery is better. The one in your neck and shoulders, I mean.
Thank you kindly. Good day.
Not one to carry tales. Gosh, to Friday.
¶¶
Judge Windsor.
Going into the drugstore?
Yep, I have to give Pete May some instructions about a prescription.
Well, come in with me. I'll buy you root beer.
Oh, all right, don't mind if I do. Tis might hot.
Go ahead, I'm right with you.
Hi, Doc. Morning, Judge Windsor.
Hello, Pete.
Well, what'll it be, gent?
Well, I've decided to go hog wild and spend a nickel on Doc Adams. Two root beers, Pete.
Two root beers, right.
You haven't seen your daughter lately, in the last hour or so, have you, Sam?
Faith? No. Why?
She was coming over for Pennyroyal, I think. She and the daughters of Naomi was to have a picnic next Saturday, I understand, and said something about the mosquitoes being pretty bad right now at Miller's Lake.
Oh? Well, no, I haven't seen her.
There you are, gents. Ice cold and a nickel of glass.
Thanks, Pete. Well, Doc, here's how.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, thanks.
You want anything else, Judge? My telephone's ringing.
No, that's all for now, Pete. Here's your dime.
Thanks.
The girls ought to have a fine time on their shindig. Beautiful place, Miller's Lake. Beautiful. Yeah. Been thinking about buying some property up there. Think it'll double in value in the next 5 years.
Oh, Judge, it's for you. Mrs. Windsor.
Oh, thanks, Pete. You're right back, Doc. It's my wife. Probably forgot to tell me to bring home a watermelon.
You been busy lately, Doc?
Hello?
No. Yeah.
What?
People in Cedarton are all pretty healthy. Right.
Too healthy for you and me, eh, Doc? Yeah. Right. Oh, right. Of course, I didn't mean that.
I'll bring him right with me. Hey, Doc. Huh? Doc, you've got to come up to the house with me right away.
Oh, well, what's the matter?
Faith, she's very sick all of a sudden. Come on, Doc. We'll go in my car. It's right around the corner.
Oh, good morning, Judge.
Morning. Peter. Come on, Doc. Please, hurry.
Morning, Pete. What's the trouble up the Windsors?
Well, now, that's too bad.
What is it, Pete? What is it?
Yeah? Oh, why, Mrs. Windsor just phoned the judge and told him Faith's awful sick. Got sick all of a sudden, she said.
Faith's sick? Oh, well, all of a sudden? Well, I wonder what could be the trouble.
There. Oh, that mustard and water and that white of egg did the trick. Now you'll be all right, Faith.
Faith, honey, your mother found it.
What?
Your mother found the money.
She did? Oh, I'm glad.
There now, Faith. Now you're going to be all right.
Sure she is. As right as right. And she's going to have the best time on that picnic that any girl's ever had anywhere.
You don't mind telling where Mrs. Windsor found the money, do you, Sam?
No, I don't mind. Young Sam Jr. took it.
Sammy? Why?
He was just playing a prank on you, Faith. Like a younger brother, he and some of the other boys decided it would be fun to hide those funds. So Faith and the girls couldn't go to their picnic.
Oh, I see.
And then, when they found out what people around town were saying about Faith, they were scared to give it back. But just as soon as I can get around to it, I've got a prank I'm going to play on him. With a hairbrush. Yes, sir.
Well, Faith, I'll drop around again this evening just to see how you're getting along. Uh-huh. To fix you up so as you can eat anything you want to on that picnic Saturday.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Adams.
Can you find your way out by yourself, Doc?
Oh, yes. After 18 years of coming around here, I should. Well, goodbye
right,
now.
Bye.
See you later.
Oh, well, we meet again, Dr. Adams.
Oh, yes, Maddie, we meet again. Small world.
Dr. Adams, I heard that Faith was ailing.
Yeah, she was. She'll be all right now.
Anything serious?
Might have been. She ate some rat poison.
Rat poison?
Yep. She felt so bad about the gossip that was going on around town, you know, about the money.
Oh, yes, the money.
They found it, though.
They did? Where was it?
Young Sammy had it hid. Just as a joke.
Oh, well, I'm so glad they found it. I'm glad, too, that Faith's feeling better.
Yeah. If you don't mind my saying so, Mattie, I think you should be glad.
Well, after all, Dr. Adams, I was just trying to do my duty as I saw it.
Duty?
After all, the scripture says, thou shalt not steal.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's the eighth commandment, if I remember rightly.
Yes, the eighth commandment.
Let me see. Do you recollect the ninth commandment, Matty? I just don't seem to recall it for the minute.
The ninth? What? Oh, yes, I remember it. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. False witness.
Oh, Dr. Adams, I'm so sorry.
Are you, Matty? That's good.
Doctor, I ain't never going to talk about anybody in Cedarton again. Never.
I'm pretty sure you won't, Matty. And say, you'd best get on home now and put some of that liniment on your misery.
Yes, Doctor.
The one in your neck and shoulder, I mean. I guess the other one will disappear of its own accord. The family doctor. I'll be in to see you again right soon. Goodbye.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.